The reading of Holy Scripture tonight comes from, we'll do the book of Hebrews first. So chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 from the book of Hebrews, and then the book of Jude, which is there on the printout. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. The book of Jude, beginning at verse 1. Jude, Jesus Christ's servant, but James's brother, to the called ones who have been loved by God the Father and are certainly kept for Jesus Christ. Let mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although making every effort to write to you concerning our common salvation, I have necessity to write to you, so exhorting you to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Because certain men have weaseled in those who long ago had been marked out beforehand for this condemnation, ungodly ones who are altering our God's grace into sensuality and are denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, despite how you once fully knew it, that Jesus, after saving a people out from the land of Egypt, later destroyed those who did not believe. So too, those angels who did not keep themselves in their first condition, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept until the great day in eternal chains under darkness. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which in a similar manner committed sexual immorality and went after another kind of flesh, present an example by suffering the penalty of everlasting fire. Nevertheless, in like manner also, these false teachers, by being dreamers, on the one hand, defile the flesh, but also rebel against authority, but further blaspheme the glorious angels. Now, Michael, the archangel, while deliberating with the devil, disputed about Moses' body, yet did not dare to execute a verdict of blasphemy, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these false teachers, on the one hand, slander as much as they do not understand, and on the other hand, as much as they think naturally like unreasoning animals, they are destroyed by these things. Woe to them, because they walked in Cain's way and committed themselves to Balaam's error for the sake of pay, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These false teachers are hidden reefs at your love feast by feasting with you without reverence, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds carried away by the winds, autumnal trees that are twice dead and uprooted, wild waves of the sea that are foaming their own shame, wandering stars for whom the nether gloom of darkness has been kept forever. Further, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, also prophesied about these false teachers, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones with the result of executing judgment against everyone, and with the result of convicting every soul concerning all their ungodly works, which they committed in such an ungodly way, and concerning all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These false teachers are murmurers, discontents, ones going after their own desires, and their mouth speaks boast, ones admiring faces to gain advantage. Despite all this, beloved, you must remember the words foretold by our Lord Jesus Christ's apostles, since they said to you, in the last time there will be mockers, pursuers of ungodliness according to their own desires. These are the ones causing divisions, natural people not having the Spirit. Despite all this, you, beloved, by building yourselves upon your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love by waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that results in everlasting life. Further, on the one hand, have mercy on those who cause divisions, but on the other hand, save them by snatching them from the fire, and again, have mercy on them with fear, despite hating even the garment that has been soiled by the flesh. Now, to the one who has the power to protect you from stumbling and to set you blameless in the presence of his glory with gladness, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and for all times. Amen. So ends the reading of God's holy word. We give thanks for it. You may be seated. And as we turn to consider these portions of Scripture, let us pray for God's help. O Lord our God, we are thankful for the riches of your word. There are things that surprise us in Scripture, and that helps us to remember that our God can always, for all time, captivate our imagination, inflame our hearts with affections for the new things we learn about you. And so as we come to these passages of Scripture, help us to see the exciting features about you that you have revealed to us, and the things that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we get a better glimpse of how you, our triune God, have worked across the millennia of redemptive history. And it has always been you, our triune God, who has done that work. Overcome the deficiencies of the preacher, for they are many. Bless the reading and the preaching of your word to bring forth fruit in our hearts, to love you more, to serve you better. And we ask it all in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus. Amen. So sometimes when Scott does something silly, I might say to Sarah, look at what your son is doing. And when we're honest, probably any shortcoming he might actually have, he gets from me. But the reason that I point out in these situations that Scott is Sarah's son when he acts silly is to underscore their relationship, right? That helps identify something. People are identified by their specific connections to other people. I'm known as Sarah's husband, Scott's dad, Oakland Hills pastor, things like that, because that highlights the connections of relationships. The key issue is that relationships actually help us further understand and identify both parties of that relationship. We understand each other in light of the relationships we have. And Jude knew that same point, that we understand identities better in light of the relationship they have to one another. In verses 5 to 7, Jude unpacked Christ's relationship to God's people throughout redemptive history. The connection that Jude made between Jesus's work in relation to God's Old Testament activities underscores who Christ is. Namely, Jesus' role in these events from times before identifies him as the true God, the very God of Israel. And this again just draws upon the point from that we've seen a few times now, Westminster Larger Catechism, that Scripture presents God the Son as equal with God the Father by ascribing to him works that God alone can do. In other words, when Scripture presents Jesus as occupying God's shoes, it proves he's God. Now, what we're going to do is take the next 3 weeks to do some theological reflection on Jude 5 to 7. Right? Opening up how Jude's points here contribute to our doctrinal understanding. Jude is obviously a rather short letter, though. So what I want to do is show how Jude gives us a certain theological idea in a kind of compressed fashion, and then see how other scripture confirms the point that we see in Jude, and then reflect on how this helps us in the Christian life. And so tonight we're taking on how Jude helps us see the doctrine of the Trinity. And so the main point is that Jesus is the eternal God who acted in the Old Testament as well as today. Jesus is the eternal God who acted in the Old Testament as well as today. And our 3 points are the character of Jesus, confirmation from Hebrews, and comfort from Jesus' constancy. So first, let's think about the character of Jesus. And the idea of these 3 doctrinal sermons is that there is a back and forth in our minds and in our hearts between reading the Bible and understanding doctrine. It goes both directions, right? So we read the Bible and we learn our doctrine there. And then, knowing more of our doctrine, we read the Bible and see more of its depths as we have more categories to grasp the implications and premises of what we read. And so to get the most out of both ends of this learning process, our approach in these next few sermons is to see the doctrine in Jude's letter, then fill it out with other passages, and then circle back after these sermons to dive back into the context of Jude to see his arguments. So our reflection for the next few weeks is grounded in verses 5 to 7. Let's just read those again. Now, I want to remind you, despite how you once fully knew it, that Jesus, after saving a people out from the land of Egypt, later destroyed those who did not believe. So too, those angels who did not keep themselves in their first condition, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept until the great day in eternal chains under darkness. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which in a similar manner committed sexual immorality and went after another kind of flesh, present an example by suffering the penalty of everlasting fire. Okay, so there's 3 events named here. Israel's rescue from Egypt,